Can you tell me a little bit about what music was in your home when you were growing up?
It was mostly classical music, and actually my family is very musical since many generations, actually. So I was born in a musical atmosphere, and there was always a CD or the radio turning on, or yeah, music was all around. And my mother was a singer, so it was lots of singing music like opera or Requiem or Lieders or whatever. So I heard lots of voices, which is also maybe why it's so important for me now to have this relation to the voice, to the human voice with the piano. So yeah, that was it.
Is that one of the reasons why you do so much Liszt?
Probably, yeah, and Liszt was the first romantic composer I felt in love with, because I don't know why, but he was more powerful to me even when I was quite young, around 14 or 15. And I always found a little bit like Rachmaninoff, that those two composers, and some people are making this a by point, and for me it's a huge powerful point, that the line is so easy and so obvious that you can only be moved by this incredible lines, musical lines.
Because people talk about the color in Liszt, they don't tend to talk about the line. Could you explain to us what you mean by the line? Because for non-musicians, it's not very obvious.
Yeah, no, it's basically really simple. It's like in Rachmaninoff, it means that you hear the singing, you hear the phrase, the musical phrase, and there is a huge power in the top voice, actually. The one you can sing and you can remember easily. So that's what I call the lines. And of course in Liszt you have incredible harmonies and you have lots of notes to play with the other nine fingers, you know, and that's why it's such a rich and powerful music, because the line is incredibly powerful in itself. But all the other stuff that the left hand is doing and all the other fingers makes it so rich and colorful. And you said people are talking about colors. It's so true, because you have so many different emotions to express. And it's thousands of different colors, from very dark moments to very dramatic to really romantic, and sometimes even there is lots of humor in his music. People don't really think of it first, and of course it's not the first thing you're thinking about Liszt, but there is, especially in this concerto, you can hear it at the end, that he's really playing and having fun. So it's full of life, and that's why I'm such in love with this music, because it's really incredibly alive.
I saw you actually playing the end of the final movement of this piece in rehearsal, and you stopped for some reason and got up from the piano. What was going on there? You were having a conversation with the conductor? What was being said?
It was a really small detail, because the orchestra is such an incredible orchestra, group of musicians. They're fantastic. They have an amazing sound, and of course the maestro, he is Rafael Frobeck de Burgos. He's been here many times. He knows the orchestra very well. He's such an incredible musician with so many years of experience. So that was only a few little things. But what you saw was about the very ending. I felt a bit pushed by the orchestra. I mean, it's kind of a natural feeling at the end, because it feels that it's going to be ending and everybody's happy and blah, blah, blah. So there is this natural tendency to go a little bit faster, especially at the very last bars. And I like to keep it really stable. Like, you know, I have a friend who is riding horses, and she told me that it's a little bit the same. I found it's like when the horse is feeling the home closer and closer, he wants to go faster and faster.
Yeah.
And that's the same. And we can find something really powerful if you refrain this tendency to go faster, and you just keep it really solid and really stable, and it gives incredible power to the end, I think.
The thing with a lot of, I was going to say war horses, but I won't say war horses, I'll say standard repertoire, is that with these great orchestras, they've played them so often, they almost have their interpretation of it. And sometimes, if you're not careful, you get to play along with their interpretation. Was there any sense of that?
Not today, because, you know, one of the big quality of such powerful orchestra is to be flexible in a way. They can adjust so quickly. I had this feeling that they understood immediately. We had only one rehearsal yesterday and this dress rehearsal this morning. So it's not a lot of time together. But I had the feeling they understood immediately what I wanted and what was my options and the way I wanted to play this piece and the main character and all those things. So I felt really supported by the orchestra, and I think, or their interpretation is mine in a way, I don't know, but the fact is it felt really together in the way of making this music. So it's always a great feeling when you're coming to a rehearsal for the first time with an orchestra you never played with a conductor you don't have so much experience with, and suddenly everything is coming together so spontaneously. And that's great, and that's what happened this week. So we had this incredible feeling of making music in the same way, in the same direction, and to enjoy ourselves. That's the most important thing.
There is a fundamental difference between working with a US orchestra and working with orchestras in other parts of the world, particularly in Europe, is that there is less rehearsal time. Do you find that pressurizing, the fact that you're being told, right, we're going to get two goes at this and then we got to play it for the public, whereas in Europe it can be a little bit longer, it can be more sessions, there's a bit more flexibility?
It's kind of the same, you know, maybe one rehearsal more in some German orchestras, but that's really rare. It's less and less rehearsing time everywhere, and that's a big thing for us, because rehearsing is so important, and of course, because of all those money problems and crisis, every budget, every orchestra has a budget to stick to.
So it's a thing of the past then, this idea that you get more time in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's no more actual, and we're having the same kind of issues and troubles, but it can be really stimulating in a way, because we know we have so much time that everybody is extremely focused and extremely looking for the, not the perfect, but the most ideal interpretation. So when you feel the pressure of time, it gives you something special also. It's not only bad.
Just a final question. You've recorded the first Liszt piano concerto. Any plans to record the second one? Is this part of the process for you of getting ready to record, that you work it out with all these different orchestras and you find out what's the real truth for you in the piece?
Actually, I guess one day I will record it, but it's not in my immediate plans, because I have a huge, really big recording project, because I'm Fabio Luisi, that you know well now here in America, mm-hmm. Invited me in Zurich with his orchestra to be artist in residence for 2 years, and we are doing all the Rachmaninoff piano concerto, the fourth, and we are doing also the Rachmaninoff Paganini variation. So all we can basically say is the five concerti. And this is going to be recorded, this is going to be ready in 2016, because it's over two seasons. And that's absolutely huge, because it's a live recording with only, you know, maybe 1 hour the next morning of retakes. So that's a big, enormous project. And in the meantime, because, you know, this would be ready in 2015, but in the meantime, I'm doing a solo recording of Schumann with beautiful pieces as Jabek variations and fantasy and Kinderszenen and childhood scenes. And this is happening soon, so I think my recording plans are quite busy for the next couple of years. And after that, I think I will go for a French album, because I'm playing a lot of solo French repertoire and people actually do love it. I do enjoy myself playing this music. It's an extraordinary music. So probably after that I will go back to French 20th century music.
It feels like home.
Yeah, it exactly feels like home, and I think I can, I enjoy, and I have so much pleasure playing this music, because there is so many colors you can explore, especially in this impressionist music. So I think this would be next. So at least the five next years are totally packed with recordings plans. But after that, yes, I'll certainly be back to list music, because this was always part of my recording life. Was my second album had list, my third album had some list, and the fifth one was all dedicated to list. So list is really here in my plans.
He sounds like he's in your DNA at this point.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's part of my life, and his music is so it's really talking to me. I can really understand, and I feel I also feel home playing it. It's a really powerful feeling.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.